My name is Yanin, and I am a Filipino immigrant born in the city of Cagayan de Oro, Philippines. My family and I moved to the United States in the suburbs of Chicago in 2015. I now live in Princeton, New Jersey, where I'm currently studying theology. This is The Cultural Christ.
Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, J.W. Buck. In this podcast, we explore the intersection between the Christian faith and cultural identity. We hold interviews with followers of Jesus to discuss the way our faith impacts our culture and how our cultural identity impacts faith. Now to this week's episode. Welcome, Yanin. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your background, your story. We haven't met before, so I'm really excited to get to know you.
Yeah. So originally, I am from the Philippines. I was born there. I was raised there. And I grew up in a city called Cagayan de Oro City, which is in the south of the country. My family was a missionary family, and we particularly served among non-Christian groups in Mindanao, in the giant island in the south. And yeah, my family moved here in 2015 to the United States. We first arrived in the suburbs of Chicago. Yeah, I spent about 4 to 5 years there. I also went to Bible college there. And then now I'm in Princeton, New Jersey, studying for my master. So I don't know, that's kind of like a quick snapshot of my story, but essentially that's kind of my background.
Well, I'd love to jump into some more specific parts. So talk a little bit about missions in the Philippines. So your parents are Filipino missionaries, is that correct?
Yes, they are.
How did that come about? What was it like growing up in a missionary family to their specific people? And then what brought them to that particular area where you grew up?
It was actually a very unique upbringing. Like, all I knew growing up was missions. And so when I tell like other peers that I had, especially in around high school years, they didn't quite understand, I think, like the kind of the experiences that I had, just because I was in an interreligious kind of context. Like, we were mostly serving among Muslims.
Yeah.
And my parents both had just a lot of desire and felt a particular calling to serve among Muslims in the south of the Philippines. And I guess for a little bit more background too, my parents are actually from the north, from Manila, the big city. And so before I was born, and I'm the eldest in my family, like, they moved there like about a year or two before I was born to the south, and already started church planning and doing evangelism and discipleship and connecting with local churches in the south. And then I just kind of came along and just tagged along and all different kinds of trips and projects that they had. And it was a very unique experience to be in that kind of interreligious space. And as someone who still very much in the conversation regarding missions and what that looks like, I think that experience really opened me up to different ways of what it might look like to understand being a Christian and what it might look like to share the gospel, especially in spaces that are not predominantly Christian. That's kind of what the experience has been. And it's been particularly formative for me too, especially now.
Yeah. And at what age did you come to the States? Was it for college specifically?
No, my family, when we moved here to the States, I was 16 years old. Yeah, I was just kind of at the beginning of my high school journey. And essentially, we moved here because my parents had been serving in missions for about 22 years at that point, with no sabbaticals and no breaks. We just needed some time to rest. And it just so happened that I was in high school that by the time we came here, it was also time to start asking about, oh, where do I go to college and things like that. And so, yeah, so it was just like an opportune time, I guess, for me to also go to college here.
So talk to me a little bit about the cultural identity formation you went through. I mean, junior high and high school is hard for anybody, but then coming to the States, were you in a Filipino subculture? Were you kind of thrust into an urban, suburban, rural environment? And then I guess how did faith identity map onto that journey for you?
That's a big question. And no. There's a lot to unpack there. That's really interesting because we moved to the suburbs of Chicago, which already in that, like, there's already like major culture shock in two ways. Number one, because we were in the suburbs of Chicago, we were actually mostly in a white community, and that was major culture shock for me in that way. But second, we were also in the suburbs of Chicago, which meant that we had a lot of access to Chicago, and Chicago is, like very culturally and racially diverse. And there were very few Filipinos actually that I met during that time. And it was just such an interesting context also to kind of be like as my first introduction to what American life looks like. And in many ways had a major impact on my faith in the sense that it made me really wonder what it meant to be a Filipino following Jesus in a place where I didn't really encounter that many Filipinos. Again, like I lived mostly in the suburbs of Chicago for my first few years here in the States, and a lot of the folks that I was getting to know and the churches that we were part of were white predominant. And in that sense, just there's just a different kind of cultural and even like a racial like context in which I was encountering what that kind of faith expression looks like. But at the same time, we were traveling a lot to Chicago and seeing how Chicago as a very like politically divided city, especially during that time, that was like 2016 and onwards, that it was just like really shocking to me to see the many ways in which Christians in the United States were just like absolutely divided along so many different lines, especially politically and racially. And so, yeah, it made me start asking questions about what does it look like to follow Jesus? Number one, in an immigrant context such as mine, where I was trying also to reconcile what Filipino identity looked like in those kind of spaces. And then at the same time, reckoning with the spaces themselves as already politically and racially segregated. And that was like culture shock, but also pretty like formative in that way too.
Moving towards Bible college and going to and I know this because of a mutual friend, a predominantly white evangelical school in Chicago for undergrad. How was that impactful from a cultural identity perspective as you're taking Bible classes and hermeneutics and theology and being in that space? Was it helpful? Was it like a liability to who you were discovering you are in Christ as a Filipino immigrant? Kind of talk a little bit about getting to know the Bible from a white evangelical lens.
I would say that going to Bible college has been both kind of like really enlivening, but in a nuanced way. Like, so it's enlivening, but also I had to really like face particular challenges that led me to further growth. And I think I was really thankful for kind of my experiences there, especially like the professors that I met there who were able to guide me along like lines of like moving here to the United States, especially when you're like, in the middle of high school. Like, there's just a lot of change going on. And for someone like me who has always wanted to belong in the spaces that I encounter or that I become a part of, especially here in the US, like, and being in spaces like white evangelical spaces, it was actually pretty challenging, I think, to embrace fully what it meant for me to be Filipino. And a lot of times, especially with a lot of white evangelical ways of reading scripture or understanding theology, I think I kind of felt like, what does this mean for me in my particular story and my particular cultural identity to engage with traditional, like white evangelical understandings of scripture and just ways of reading the Bible and talking about Jesus? And I think in college, I had to really reckon with that in many ways. And especially in my second year, I think I started reading a lot of Filipino theology from back home. One of my professors, like, handed me like a very tiny book from this Filipino theologian named Jose de Mesa, and it was a book on the Lord's Prayer. And that was the first time in a long time in the United States that I finally read again theology in Filipino, in the actual language that I grew up in. And then with that, I also started reading James Cone, who is this incredible Black theologian. And I read his book called God of the Oppressed. And I think those two books particularly were just like they became so foundational to me in Bible college and trying to navigate a space like that and be like, you know what, like, I think my faith has a lot to do with my story, and those two don't have to clash.
Wow.
I think those two books were particularly helpful, and Bible college in that way was brought me to grow, I think, in very crucial ways.
What parts of your cultural identity are really important to you as you continue to navigate kind of the immigrant American space, having come from a missionary family in the Philippines, and you're in academia now studying as somebody who is still earlier on in this journey, and we are all in the journey somewhere, but what parts of your cultural identity have you really just felt at home in and latched on to being here?
Honestly, one of the most important parts about my cultural identity that I've had to kind of recover in a sense, especially in the past few years, were the ways in which I really have to thank my grandmother for this, my Lola. Mama Lilia is her name. And I remember when I was young, she was teaching me and showing me a kind of a very blended or kind of hybridized way of practicing the faith in a particularly like Filipino way, in the way that she does it. And a really great example of how that looks like is that my grandmother's a gardener and a farmer. And when she goes out, and I was very young, I think I was 6 or 7 years old when I first knew that she was gardening and farming, I would go to her and like watch her garden and farm. And she would just talk to plants. She would like treat them as if they were like people, for instance, and just like having conversation with them. And not in like a metaphorical sense, like this is actually literal. And then like while she's doing that, she's also like singing like worship songs, and she reads the Bible during breaks, and it's just like this really profound kind of creation care, while at the same time like doing that from a particularly Christian position. And to me, I think when I came here to the U.S., one of the first things I quickly recognized was just like how there is, and I don't want to make this like a broad thing for all Americans, but at least there's a very strong like cultural sense here in the U.S. that I felt there's disconnect with land and disconnect with the earth and disconnect with plants that was so strong to me because of the background I had in the Philippines, where everything revolves around land and place, and even like tribal identities, like my family's various tribal identities, because we're like intertribal, our family is, and like all of that is signified by place and land, and like where you get your tribal name is specifically from the place you were born in. And those kind of things just kind of like, that's not present here in the United States in many ways. And I think that was like a very crucial thing that I had to recover in the past few years, of just that attention to land that my grandmother has and the kind of deep care that she has, and how she integrated that kind of indigenous wisdom or practice with her love for Jesus and her following Jesus. And I know that answers your question, but that's basically like one of the things that I've had to really think about.
Wow. Yeah, Jan, and as a white Christian born, grew up in North America, in the U.S., I just want to validate that blind spot within Western theology, in particular, any theologies that came within colonialism and were created. There's pros and cons to any theology that's created, and one that certainly I've been kind of a liability of, and there's been personal consequences, is that disconnection to body and to space and to land, where in Bible college, looking at the early church and criticizing them for Gnosticism, which is to say spirit is good, the body matter is bad, and then really looking at the theologies that justify slavery, the erasure of culture, the hierarchies that came with colonialism, and just the theft of land, that like it's not important unless you have power and you can take it, that it took time to listen and learn and understand that. So it's been a theological journey for me, and Willie Jennings was really key and helpful with his book, The Christian Imagination, which I had to read like 3 times to get it. I'm going to be honest with you, because it's so far out of the theology that I grew up in and I learned and that I embodied. And then, yes, getting to know Indigenous, Native American, and various people of color who look at the world vastly differently as they read Genesis 1, 2, 3, and the rest of Scripture. So I just wanted to validate that your Lola and all those experiences. And we need that witness. We need your witness. We need that wisdom to be brought into the blind spots of the many, many blind spots of Western theology. Let's transition to Jesus. You know, who is Jesus to you? And I guess I would say when you came to faith and in the Philippines, so this is fun to talk about, what was your imaginary of Jesus? What was his ethnicity? Did that matter? Was it talked about? Were there images of him? Like, what did that look like?
Yeah. Okay. So this is a really interesting topic because this would be, this, I guess, is also really helpful in conversation with my Lola. Predominantly in the Philippines, as really like right now, it's a neo-colonial, post-colonial region, right, that has a lot of history of both Spanish and American colonialism. And so because of that, a lot of our images of Jesus in the Philippines are white, meaning that like a lot of the like actual like figures or images, even movies, I remember like films that we would watch about Jesus, and Jesus was always played by a white actor in some way. Of course, that just kind of embedded within me that Jesus was American or Jesus was European. And I think my grandmother was really interesting because even with her, just her kind of like deep connection to land, she was already pointing out for me. I remember when she would talk about the Gospels, she was trying to really emphasize the fact that Jesus was from Israel, that Jesus was a Jewish man. And that to me was like, I didn't really pay attention to much of those nuances back then, but now I'm looking back at that, I'm like, wait, there's something really profound about that. And I think part of my immigration story as well and how I've been reckoning with that is continuing to see those kind of strands or of colonialism that continues in that the Filipino imagination, and how we have been, especially through Christianity and through missions, we have been taught to understand Jesus as white, whether or not we say he is, like that's just how he looks. And I think part of that too is recognizing the way that like displacement from land or like inattention to land or to particularity has, I think, created those kind of ideas that Jesus kind of like this abstract universal white guy and nothing else than that. But I think right now in my faith journey, it's really reckoning too with the fact that Jesus is a first century like Palestinian Jewish man. And in that, recognizing that, no, Jesus is not this like universalized white guy. Like he's actually like a particular person, just like me, who was born from a particular place and live within a particular particular place and identifies with that place, you know? So yeah, I think that's how I'd answer that question.
So it's so good to hear you process. And for those who are listening who might not understand why Yanin in the Philippines is looking at and seeing and understanding a white Jesus, there's a few reasons. Broadly speaking, every culture in the world, every nation, they're coming to faith through the people that brought that faith. And in the colonial era, as white people spread out to the entire world, took over, you know, at some points, 80 to 90% of the entire landmass on planet Earth, they were bringing with them their religion and traditions. And this was a white Jesus from Europe because they made Jesus in their image as a conquering colonial Jesus who endorsed white culture. And then you take that and you add the technological revolution of, you talked about movies and music, and there's been some really famous paintings of a white Jesus or a white Paul that just get caught on that wave and through the current of colonialism, just continuing to be pushing into countries all around the world. So where it's normal for in Guatemala, for there to be a Guatemalan artwork of Jesus, or in the Philippines, Filipino artwork of Jesus, the problem is the white lens is cast over the entire world in a way that is absolutely dangerous. So as you, Yanin, are wrestling with this, that Jesus is not white, and I love that you had theological training from your grandmother, from your parents, from your home nation in a way that you're relearning now, probably more on an academic scale, which is pretty beautiful to hear God speaking to you from such an early date. When you think of Jesus, what really draws you to him? Is there a story in the gospel? Is there theological value? Is what about Christ draws you in?
You mentioned Willie Jennings earlier. Dr. Jennings has been, his book, The Christian Imagination, and also After Whiteness, are two very formative books for me. And I think this is the challenge, right? Like you're pointing out, there's this thing called whiteness, and just trying to explain also what that word means. Like whiteness is referring to really the idea of race as the way that we create identities and separate identities from one another, right? It's not really referring to pigment at the end of the day. Like it's not referring to me like having brownish skin that is more dark in the summer and more light in the winter. You know, it's not referring to pigment ultimately. It's really referring to a way of being in the world that segregates along lines, right? Various lines. And I think in that sense, like that's really the challenge that I think I've found in trying to understand Jesus in the kind of particularly Filipino way, is that whiteness has been so prevalent because of colonialism that it's been so hard to envision a Jesus that is not that.
Yeah.
In that sense. And in response to your question, yeah, I guess in that sense, like, because there is this problem called whiteness, right? That silences and negates the particularities in which Jesus can speak to us, right? Or my particularity as a Filipino, as actually important to the gospel, as actually important to my understanding and knowing of who Jesus is and having a relationship with that. I think what draws me now to Jesus when I finally like let go of that image of Jesus is to be able to understand Jesus as he actually is. As he is, as a first century Jewish man who is this the heir of David and the heir of Abraham, and who has this incredible genealogy in Matthew 1 that's like, this is not just like a bunch of names and a bunch of people, like random people like that Matthew decided, you know what, let me just put their names on here. It's like, no, this is an actual story that Jesus is saying, you know, I'm part of this. I'm part of people called the Jewish people who have this covenant with God. And this covenant, as it says in Genesis 12, this covenant is also not just for the people of Israel, but for all people. Yeah. And that's where Jesus comes in, is that Jesus opens up that covenant for me to be able to say, like, you know, like, I want to be part of that. And Jesus sees me in my particularity and say that matters to him too. It's not all like just random or insignificant, but it actually really matters. And I think in that sense, it's really affirming and quite genuinely like really empowering in a sense to say, like, you know, I'm Filipino and I follow Jesus as a Filipino. And there's a beauty to that. Can get really lost when we forget what it means that we are particular human beings, embodied people, you know? Yeah. Who are being called to the gospel.
It's beautiful. Let's transition to church. What has it been like for you existing in church spaces here on the North American continent, more specifically in the United States, more specifically in the Midwest, in a suburb? You know, what does it look like for you to be fully you in a faith community? Is that something that has come easier because your parents have taught you to navigate those spaces? Is it harder the more that you learn and listen to Jesus? I guess, what does community and church look like for you?
That's still something I'm navigating. Right now, I'm going to a multi-ethnic church here, like just a small community church that's like genuinely multi-ethnic. And I think that's like one way in which that I've really like explored what it looks like, or I'm trying to explore what it looks like to be Filipino in that space and to be able to bring that perspective. It's really such a beautiful church. Like there's a lot of like multi-ethnic churches that just say they're multi-ethnic, but don't really do much about it. It's just like kind of like a tag to be able to say like, we're cool, we're hip, you know, like, come on. And like, I've always had that hesitancy, but I found this church that has been really serious about being a genuinely multi-ethnic community and wrestling with that together. And as a Filipino, that's really helpful, especially as I'm continuing to navigate my story, continuing to navigate American Christianity and Protestantism more specifically. Yeah, and I think that's been really powerful to see other folks of different cultures and ethnicities also navigate that with me, that I'm not, you know, I'm not alone there. Like there's Indian Americans there, there's Latin Americans also navigating these questions with me and with one another, and a lot of African Americans as well. It's just been like a really enlivening space. And I think being part of a particular, like a multi-ethnic community like that has been really, really helpful too. Yeah, and hopefully can provide some kind of vision for what God's people actually looks like. And yeah, and that kind of belonging, right, that we've been talking about.
Yeah. Let's switch to where you are in life right now. I want to hear a little bit about what your goals are academically and where you're hoping to continue.
So right now I am pursuing my Master of Divinity from Princeton Theological Seminary. I'm really enjoying it here. I'm about halfway through my program at this point of recording the podcast. And yeah, a lot of my research, really how I describe it to folks is that I'm looking at the intersections of race, religion, theology, and ecology, which I think you kind of get a little bit of a sample of what that might look like. And particularly, I think what I'm trying to do, and more specifically, is that I'm trying to do Asian American theology. And that's been like a project that I've been very excited about. There's a lot of need, a lot of work that still needs to be done. Like literally, like I'm looking at my stack of books of Asian American theology. It's very few. there's not that much, and it's growing, but there's a lot of need still in that area. And for folks who are interested in doing that, if you're hearing this right now and you're like, whoa, like maybe I can do something like that. Like literally, like we need more Asian Americans doing theology. Yeah. Just very excited about this. Very excited about being here. Yeah. That's more or less what I'm working at.
That's exciting. I'm so pumped on your journey and where you're headed. And we do need your voice wherever you end up, whatever spaces you decide or are drawn into by God. I'm excited to be listening and learning as you continue exploring. And Yanan, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Josh. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want more content, you can go to jwbuck.org or follow me on Instagram, handles jwbuck. If you have any questions about culture, cultural identity, or faith, feel free to send me a message. Hope you'll join us next week.